living in the basement for most of the time for the next 3 months. I know it was time. I know 10 years ago, Ray, and you heard, he did kitchen and bathroom renovations. 10 years ago, Ray told me that my sink was going to fall through to the floor. I know for the last few years, I continue to repair my cupboards and screw them back together and hang them back up again. But it was comfortable. I was happy with that. I knew where my things were. And even though perhaps life could have been better, it was the life I knew. And I like how they phrase this. Demolition. We aren't destroying anything, we're just making smaller pieces. But they're coming in tomorrow, not to destroy, but to make smaller pieces of the kitchen and bathrooms I have lived with for the last 16 and a half years. But of course, it needed to be done. This is the Sea of Galilee, a picture I took a year and a half ago when I was there. These are some of my group and other tourists who were there dabbling their feet in that shoreline, not far away from the hometown of Andrew and Peter, Capernaum. In fact, one of the places which is reputed to have been the place where Jesus walked along the beach with Peter and asked him, "Peter, do you love me more than me?" It may have been this very beach where Jesus walked along to tell some brothers who were fishing that everything was about to change for them. The life of comfort may have not been a perfect life. The life that they were used to was never going to be the same again. He invited them to follow me. A little further along, he found the sons of Zebedee, James and John, in the boat with their father. They were obviously fishermen who were a little better off because Andrew and Simon were throwing their nets from the shoreline, whereas the sons of Zebedee could afford a boat and hired men. Here's a little shot of my Tantour group on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. And you can get a notion, this is a real lake that has real weather. We'll see if this comes across. It's called a Jesus boat. It looks nothing like the boats that Jesus sailed on, but you can see the wind whipping us. You can see the beautiful surroundings. That's Jeff von Wald, the director of Tantour at the time, I think looking for Jesus on the shoreline. This was a real place. It was kind of a forgotten part of not only the Roman Empire, but also Palestine, Israel, even Galilee. They were simple people, ordinary people. And Jesus came along and called them to change the world. Now there is a real sense of urgency in the Gospel of Mark and in this passage in particular, but I think that sense of urgency extends through the whole Gospels and through the letters of Paul. There is a sense of something happening that we are to be a part of. But this is exciting. What we are part of here today is we honor these stewards for what they have given to us over these many years. It's not because of something dull and boring, but because Matthew, when the disciples of John go to seek, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus tells them, "You go and tell John what you see and hear." The poor receive good faith. A blind receive sight, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. Now in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus walks along the shoreline. It's the opening of his ministry. And what does he say at the very beginning? The time is fulfilled. It's now. The kingdom of God is at hand, or in your midst, or drawn near in me. Now is the time for you to enter the kingdom. To enter the reign of God's love and hope. Now is the time. And immediately, that expression, Kai Euphus, is used 11 times in this first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Unfortunately, when we translate it into English, they like to give more variety, so they don't repeat the phrase, but it needs to be repeated. That's what Mark is saying. And immediately, he called to Simon and Andrew, and immediately, James and John left their boats and their father Zebedee and the hired men and followed him. You feel a sense of urgency in your life? I know, and it's true, but I'm going to go home this afternoon and after watching a little football. And immediately after watching a little football, I'm going to go at that kitchen. We got some more stuff to pack up and put away, otherwise it will be demolished. And go out into the trash bin that's going to be landed on our lawn tomorrow. So we're going to be busy. I have a sense of urgency about my house. But oh, woe to me if I do not have a sense of urgency about the love of God. Woe to me if I do not turn to someone I love today and someone who needs love today and reach out to them with this thing that has happened. It is good news because it's not a good theory. It's not a good principle. It is something that has happened. That's what news is. It's something that has happened. And now is the time to follow him into love and life. So think about that. Think about who's sitting next to you. Think about who in your life today, who in your life tomorrow needs to be told that you love them. Needs to receive support from you and care from you. Think about our world. What in our world needs to change now because God is on the loose and it is exciting. And we're not to miss the chance that is given to us. This is a fellow named Coleman Mockler. I don't know if you know the name. He has entered the history books now. He is seen as one of the models of business leadership. Graduate of Harvard Business School. This picture was taken about then. Coleman went to work almost immediately for the Gillette Company. And he rose up from the ranks of the Gillette Company and it started to decay. And he became CEO. And he turned the company around. He made it so profitable, in fact, that there were 3 takeover attempts to try and purchase it, and he fought them back every time because he had a vision. His vision wasn't for himself, it was for the company. That's why he's a model CEO, because he wasn't one of these all-star CEOs who took the limelight. He was one of these people who went by the principle that the best leader few pictures of Coleman Mockler. This is taken out of his graduating book. He couldn't exactly refuse that one. He had another picture taken in 1991. He was to appear on the cover of Forbes magazine, the Businessman of the Year. He was given a copy of that cover a week ahead of time, just the proof, and he took it with him to the office where he worked, and as he entered with that copy under his arm, everyone, the executives he worked with, stood up and gave him a standing ovation. He was embarrassed. He walked to his office, and he closed the door, and he died of a heart attack. He was 61 years old. We do not know what is coming tomorrow. Coleman Mockler is remembered today, and those who study leadership know his name, because of the way he invested in others. When he died, there was a tremendous gift bequeathed in his name to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, because he was also a man of faith, who believed in bringing others into the light and hope of God's love in Jesus Christ. Although that tragic day is true, his life still continues to work and change the world. Now what's in this world today? That happened in 1991, in January of 1991, the 25th. Yesterday happened something else. A reminder again that we have an opportunity today to change the world. And there is a need. It was wonderful this year to see more women out marching than there were last year. But the job isn't done. I like this sign. Why I march? Question mark. So my daughter will never have to say me too. Jesus comes along the shore of our street today, saying, "What are you doing about this? What are you doing for your daughter, for your spouse? What are you doing for your granddaughters and those yet unborn?" How are we now answering the call of Jesus to bring life and light to all God's children? Do you hear the call? Not call to be demolished, the call to build life. And it's a gift. It may take us all out of our comfort zone, our privileges that we have become used to, but you know those privileges